Good afternoon in the East Coast and the West Coast, and Erev Tov be'Arzenu HaKdosha, where Rav Kook served as the chief rabbi and for many years, first in Yapo and then in, of course, for the whole country. And it's a pleasure. We're in the midpoint, the middle part of our five-part series on Orot HaTshuva of Rav Kook, and we welcome back Rav Ashvat. The search for perfection is perfection itself. Something along those lines is the title of today's talk, and we look forward to becoming more perfect. Okay, Vakasha Rabbi, it's all yours.
Okay, shalom to everybody. And just in case people haven't noticed, we have been learning according to the order, the fifth chapter of Orot HaTshuva. And Orot HaTshuva has like 17 chapters, but we're focusing on many of the major ideas through mainly the fifth chapter. A quick review. In the first shiur, we saw that Rav Kook does not translate Teshuvah as repentance, but to return. And we spoke about how the modern world has discovered evolution, which is the basis of the entire world. And it's not a straight line, but all of life is a zigzag line, but the general direction is to learn from experience. We discussed how sports records are constantly improving, and toothpaste is constantly new and improved, and even mankind, and spiritually. Thank God, mankind has matured, just like the individual matures. Mankind has matured and no longer accepts slavery, chauvinism, idolatry, etc., etc. Morality is totally accepted in the world. And at the top of the arrow is an arrow. In other words, the general direction is ups and downs. We learn new techniques. We learn from experience, but what we're going to talk about today is the top, the arrow, which is always open because there's always room for improvement. So that was the first class. And the idea of teshuvah is to return to my godly self, to my potential, and which is a return to God and to myself. And last time we spoke about if it's so natural to improve and I should just swim with the tide and just do it, and all of nature is constantly improving, mankind is constantly, you know, so why is it so difficult? And we mentioned that God, in order to ensure free will, he gave us the possibility of overdoing certain things which are essentially good, right? The ego is essentially good, but when we get over-focused and become arrogant, then we're not willing to admit that I need to improve, to change. We spoke about peer pressure also, which could and should be good, but sometimes it holds us back from being who we want to be. The same thing with laziness, the same thing with the fear of the unknown, that all of these are not bad because God is perfect and everything he made is meant to be used for good. But we have free will to either grow and improve constantly or to let these things, to exaggerate these things and have them hold us back. And we spoke last time also about the ratzon, my inner desire and my outer desire, right? That very often man is schizophrenic and sometimes we're lazy. And sometimes we're idealistic, and sometimes we're selfish, and sometimes we're altruistic. We want to give to others. And who is the real me? Rav Kook suggests that the real me is what I really want, not what I feel like doing, because I feel like eating pizza and sleeping all day. But what I really want out of life, the ideals, that is the godly me. And we spoke about how the real me is not my body, even though I pointed at my body again. The real me is my soul. It is my neshama, which is a spark of God. So if I want to get in touch with God, I don't have to look in the heavens, but I should just look into myself and find my godly self and be my godly self. And we spoke about how somebody who is addicted and doesn't let himself grow, that is very unfortunate. And it is a, Rav Kook calls it a sickness and a slavery, because man's essence is to be free, free will. And just like God does whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, he is at the top of the arrow. The more free I am, the more godly I am. The less free I am, the more animalistic I am, because animals don't have free will. And we spoke about the marshmallow test, of how discovering self-discipline in order to get the most out of my potential. I mentioned a girl who was in my elementary school who dedicated her early age to figure skating, and she was always on diets and going to sleep early and waking up early, and she couldn't do whatever she wanted, but she became very, very successful. And that is the key. That's how Rav Kook explains the korech, the matzah, and the maror, that the freedom of Pesach, to be essentially myself without any yeast, without the yetzer hara, getting myself lost, that goes together with maror, which is the bitter herbs, which we need to learn how to deal with self-discipline. And the final point that we said last time was that life itself is independence. And we saw the Maharal's explanation that in the Talmud it says that a who is considered like a dead person, obviously the world has changed, but in those days, a blind person, a person who is outside the camp, a mitzora, a leper, a poor person, and somebody who doesn't have children, Chazal say that their life is not considered living, explains the Maharal why, because life is independence. And that is why it's so natural, according to Rav Kook, to be a Zionist, liyot am chofshi ba'artzenu. And that's how Rav Kook explains, ein lecha ben chorin ela mishol seik b'torah, that the Torah makes us free people to rise above everything, to be totally in control, to be who I want to be. Maybe just one last point that I didn't mention last time. Part of human development of the individual and the ups and downs is to become more independent, right? We remember the terrible twos where a child is learning to control himself. It comes together, excuse me, with toilet training, that he learns that he can control his parents, make them happy, make them sad. He can control his bodily functions. And that is a turning point in his maturing. And then afterwards, adolescence is another turning point in maturing, because in adolescence, also, he can learn to drive. He can say no to his parents. He can say no to society. Okay, that every turning point in maturity is a preparation for a higher level of independence. And if so, the idea is to be free to be myself. That's where we are up to. Let's look together in source number one. I'll do the share screen. I hope Rav Jay made me the co-host here. And
yes, you are. And let me put this sources here too.
Okay. Okay. Share screen. Here we go. Okay. Source number one, Parakei Halachava, Si'ifav. Of Orot HaTshuva. Mibiladei Machshevet HaTshuva. Without the idea, the concept of Teshuva, of improving, of evolution, constant evolution, Menuchata uBitchona, the peace of mind that this Tshuva gives us, and the Bitachon, the security, right? Menucha is in the present, and bitachon, security, is in the future. In other words, the idea that if I make a mistake, I can improve, I can erase it and improve. That gives me peace of mind. That gives me security. Because without that, lo yukal adam limtso manoach, a person would not be able to find peace of mind. V'achayim aruchaniyim lo yuchlu litpateach ba'olam. And spirituality could not develop in the world if I'm doomed, if there's no way to improve myself. Hachusha musari tuvea me'adam et hatzedek ve'atov et hashlemut. V'ashlemut ha-musarit kama recholka me'adam lagshima b'poal. Maybe it's a long sentence. I'll explain the first half. Let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam explains it very, very well. Rav Kook is based very often on the Rambam. In the Moreh Nevuchim, in the Guide for the Perplexed, in source number 2, this is from Chelek Gimel, Perek Lamed Vav, the third part, chapter 36, where in general, almost always when you hear somebody quoting the Guide for the Perplexed, I can bet you it is almost always from the third part. Because the third part deals with Ta'amei HaMitzvot, with the benefit of the mitzvot. And that's the most popular part of Moreh Nevuchim. And any practicing Jew would like to know, what's the benefit that I get out of it? We can't understand why God commanded us this or that, but we can see the benefit. So the Rambam is going to talk about the benefit of a certain topic of mitzvot. There is a mitzvah, according to the Rambam. The Ramban disagrees. We won't get into the details, but the Rambam says there is a mitzvah from the Torah to daven, to pray, ulitchanen lo, to beg God, from God, v'litzok lifanav be'etzara, and to yell out to God when we are in trouble. Umivuaru shatshuva gam ken mizeh haklal. In addition to prayer, the mitzvah of doing tshuva and saying vidui, saying ashamnu bagadnu, I've sinned, I did this, I did that, this is part of the same category. Rotzeh lomar, min ha-de'ot asher lo yesudar metziut anshei ha-Torah, ela ba'aminotam. Just like Rav Kook said, he says, we can't imagine life, and for sure we can't imagine the Torah, without the possibility of doing tshuva. That if we make a mistake, we can erase it and improve. She'i'afshar l'shum adam sh'lo yechtav v'yifshah. Right? Pasuk in Kohelet, we'll bring it later on. Ein adam ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechtav. There is nobody who doesn't make mistakes. Even Moshe Rabbeinu made mistakes. Right? You all know the story why he wasn't allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. If you look in the commentaries, there are at least 13 different explanations. What was Moshe's mistake? So we all grew up on Rashi that he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock to bring out the water. But there are at least 12 other explanations. And even Moshe Rabbeinu makes mistakes. Im sheyisakel bedat sheyivcharei. Sometimes we are stupid in that which we choose. We make the wrong choice. Omida vihi bilti nivcheret be'emet. Or we choose a character trait which really isn't good. Olitigboret ta'ava okas. Sometimes, like we said before, everything God creates is good. But sometimes we overdo, we overeat, we oversleep, and we turn that yetzer tov into a yetzer hara. We choose wrong. That's what the essence of man. We can free will choose the better choice or choose the worst choice. If a person would not have the security that Rav Kook is talking about, that if he makes a mistake, he's not doomed forever. He can pick himself up again. And as a matter of fact, like we discussed in the first class, the way of the world is that in order to rise, first you fall and then you jump. You have to wind up before you throw. You have to crouch down before you can jump. And that is the way of the world. So Rav Kook says, inevitably, there has to be this possibility to wipe the slate clean, every year in Chodesh Elul and the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, this time of the year, we wipe the slate clean. Hayam matmid, if a person, if we didn't have that possibility, hayam matmid al ta'uto, we would continue it. If a person knows, I'm going to hell. So he's just going to do worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And he's going to continue sinning and continue doing bad because I'm going to hell anyway. And by the way, it's interesting. If the Rambam were writing the Guide for the Perplexed today, my educated guess is that how would he finish this sentence? Right? If we didn't have that possibility of fixing our mistakes and our sins, we would commit suicide. Modern man very often sees committing suicide as an option because he's doomed. He did something wrong. He can't fix it. And he's mityaish. He gives up hope. And that's why it's interesting. The Rambam doesn't mention that, but obviously today, unfortunately, so many people, especially since WhatsApp and social media, a lot more teenagers are trying to kill themselves. And we would think that as the standard of living is climbing the ladder of evolution, man would be happier and happier and would less and less kill himself. And the truth is the exact opposite. And that is why teshuvah is so important. If you said something wrong to a person, and this is so important, with your spouse, just say, I'm sorry. It doesn't cost money. It doesn't take calories. Just say, I'm sorry. And the same thing to God. And the same thing, if you did something bad, just do it better next time. We need tshuva. Without this permanence, possibility of improvement, we'd be lost. But with our faith that we can fix anything, we believe that you'll be even better than you were before. And this idea is so beneficial. That's why the Torah gives us many mitzvot. For example, to cry out to God in prayer, to do tshuva. Now the Rambam adds, Rotze lomar havviduyim, the idea of saying ashamnu bagadnu. We won't get into the question whether tshuva is a mitzvah or just vidui is a mitzvah. That's a famous question in the Rambam. But here he mentions tshuva and vidui. The korbanot, sacrifices. So many of the sacrifices, most of the book of Vayikra, the book of Leviticus, Aleshkagot, V'chein al Ktzatas Donot, what are they based on? They're based on sin. They're based on making mistakes. But there's a way out. Say, I'm sorry, and give a sacrifice. Vataniyot, and the fast days, whether it be Yom Kippur, and afterwards the rabbinical fast days, all of these are based on the concept that we can improve. And if I made a mistake, I am not doomed. Now, it's so important to stress this point that anything and everything can be erased. There is always tshuva. Why? Because there are certain places where we're told there's no tshuva. For example, the Rambam. Let's start with the Rambam, in source number 5. The Rambam writes in Hilchot Tshuva, Perek Dalet, Halachot Bet and Gimel, that there are certain people who cannot do tshuva. Wow. Maybe that contradicts everything that we've been saying. The Rambam lists, and that's the Chiddush, that's why we're bringing this. The Rambam says, Umehen chamisha dvarim hanualim darkei tshuva. Just like says the Rambam, there are 24 people who have no share in the world to come, unless they do tshuva. There are some people who the door of tshuva is locked before them. The Elohim, and these are them, those people who the door of tshuva is locked. Haporesh minatzibur, says the Rambam, somebody who separates himself from the community. Lefisha bizman sheyasu tshuva lo yeim mahen ve'no zochei mahen bizchut sheosim. If a person is just has his own cheshbon, his own account with God, and he's not gaining from all of the national account, he's going to have a problem because everybody makes mistakes. And also, if he doesn't go to shul in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and he's not benefiting from the national tshuva, somebody like that, somebody who wants to do it alone, he wants to be a Jew, the Rambam says, beforehand in Hilchot Tshuva, he's religious, he does the mitzvot, but he wants to do them by himself, a soloist. The Rambam says, somebody like that, the door of Tshuva is locked before him. Or, bet, v'acholek al divrei chachamim, somebody who disagrees with our sages. Lefi shemachlokato goremet lo lifrosh mehen, ve'no yodea darkei Tshuva. If somebody doesn't listen to the rabbis, so he's going to run away from them, and he's not going to follow what they have to say, how to do tshuva. Gimel, the third person, b'malig ala mitzvot, somebody who's cynical and laughs at the mitzvot. Shekevan shenitbazu be'inav eino rodef achareihen. If he derides the mitzvot and mocks the mitzvot and mocks religion, v'lo osan, and he doesn't do them, v'im lo yaseh b'me yizkeh. Is just going on that road to, oh, this mitzvot is cynical and cynical and cynical and cynical. And somebody like that, tshuva, is locked before him. Continues the Rambam, v'mivazer rabotav, somebody who derides his teachers. So, and he gives an example of Gehazi, remember the student of Elisha, who just was on the slippery slope. And number five, asuneta tochechot, somebody who hates rebuke. Somebody who doesn't like being told he needs to be improved. Somebody who doesn't, you know, somebody, he's working on something, and then a professional comes and says, you know, it would be better if you do it differently. He says, don't tell me, I don't want to hear. Right? Somebody like that is doomed, and the door of tshuva is locked before him, because he thinks he knows everything. And continues the Rambam in Halacha Gimel. Again, we're in source number 5, 3 lines from the bottom. Umehem chamisha dvarim haoseh otan e'efshar lo sheyashuv b'tshuva gemura. There are certain things that even if a person does tshuva, he cannot do total tshuva. Lefi shem avonot shebein adam lechavero. For example, sins between man and his fellow man, ve'ino yodea chavero shechatalo. A person who speaks bad about all the Hasidim, or all the Ashkenazim, or all the Sfaradim, he can't go and ask forgiveness from each and every one. We're talking about millions. Or somebody who steals, I was just asked on the website, the yeshiva website, if anybody's interested in seeing some, a couple thousand of interesting questions and answers, somebody wrote me, I guess he's in the spirit of the month of Elul, and he says he stole money from a corporation. How can he do tshuva? And I answered him that anybody could do tshuva, but you got yourself into a pickle, because to find all of the people that you have to apologize to, that is very different. I didn't tell him that the Rambam says that you can't do total tshuva. Because the Rambam himself in Source 6, in Hilchot Tshuvan Perigimel, when he talks about those people who have no share in the world to come, look at the fourth line, Ein licha davar shomed bifnei tshuva. The Rambam himself says that everybody can do tshuva. Now this is a classic example of one of those mines that the Rambam plants in the minefield of the Mishneh Torah, where there are hundreds, maybe thousands of cases where the Rambam purposely plants apparent contradictions. And what he wants us to do, and you look at all the hundreds of commentaries on the Mishneh Torah, that's exactly what he wants. Trying to figure out, how a 10-year-old wouldn't contradict himself so many times. The Rambam was not stupid. And here he is consciously contradicting himself. And the question is, why? again, what's the contradiction? On the one hand, he's telling us there are some people who cannot do tshuva. There are other people who cannot do total tshuva. And then he tells us everyone and everything can do tshuva. And that's our topic in Rav Kook. Rav Kook says we need this security that we can all do tshuva. Everything can be erased. Everything can be improved. And the answer is in source number 7. Rav Kook has a beautiful chidush here, which I remember. I mentioned this once at a shiva call, where a woman was sitting shiva, and she was telling me that her brother was so upset and so disappointed, and miyuash, he gave up hope. She didn't say whether he committed suicide or not, but I understood in between the lines that he had lost hope for life. And I mentioned this line in Orot HaTshuva, and since then, that was years ago, she has been reminding me how this line has changed her view to be more optimistic. Again, Orot HaTshuva is that tshuva isn't supposed to be depressing. It's optimistic. It's natural to improve. Rav Kook writes as follows, source number 7. Follow inside because this is ingenious. It's so ingenious that after you hear it, it's so logical. That's the best. Kishet Perik Yudalad Se'if Gimel of Orot HaTshuva. Kishet Ba'im Lashuv B'Tshuva. When a person is coming to improve himself. Tzrichim Ladat She'in Shum Minia Badavar. There is absolutely nothing holding him back, no matter what he did. Afilu Otam Esrim Va'arba Dvarim Hamakvim Et HaTshuva. Even those 24 things that the Rambam says, you can't do tshuva. Teket v'shemivakshim u'ba'im lashuv aleihem shuv einam me'akvim. What is Rav Kook telling us? Listen closely. He's telling us that part of the test, part of the challenge, is that the rabbis and the Rambam tell us, you know what, for you, there's no improvement. For you, there's no tshuva. So if a person thinks he's damned, and that he's going to hell, and nevertheless does tshuva, that improvement is really l'shem shamayim. That is true tshuva. He's not doing it for an ulterior motive. He's not doing it to go to hell, because when the rabbis say, you know what, you're going to go to hell, why are they telling us, according to Rav Kook, why are they telling you you're going to hell? So that when you improve, despite that, it is a full and total tshuva. This beautiful concept that even when the Rambam tells us that he and he and he and he cannot do tshuva, on the other hand, the Rambam himself says everyone and everything can do tshuva. What is the answer? Rav Kook says, when the Rambam tells us that you can't do tshuva, that's just part of the test. That's just part of the challenge. Rav Tzadok of Lublin, who lived a little before Rav Kook, he writes a similar idea in source number 8. This is in Pri Tzadik. And you know what? There are some things that when you learn, you say, save. Press the button, save. This is something I should and will always remember. Rav Tzadok of Lublin writes, Umize bat kifut lalev ha'adam. God gave man strength, bravery in our hearts. V'zeo dichtiv baruch Hashem tzuri, pasuk in Tehilim, that God is my rock. U'kamo shamru, as the rabbis tell us, matzinu shakadosh baruch hu, liban shel Yisrael. God is considered, according to the Midrash, the heart of Israel. Dichtiv tzur levavi v'chelki elukim le'olam. So if God is the heart of Israel, and God is a rock, Ba'oz Tzur Yeshuati. God is our rock. Tzur Yisrael Kuma Bezrat Yisrael. God is our rock. What it's telling us is that we have a lot more strength than we realize in our hearts. Hainu gam bidvarim shne'amar bazohar hakadosh mi'Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai she'eino mo'il tshuva chas v'shalom. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai writes in the Zohar, and you may have heard this because it's pretty famous, that for certain sins, sexual sins, there is no tshuva. And when a lot of people want to become Balei Tshuva, and they did something wrong sexually, and just if you look there in the Zohar, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is talking about masturbation, or a lot of things that a lot of people do, that there is no tshuva for them. Now, on the other hand, there are a heck of a lot of people, maybe most people, chas v'shalom, who are transgressing these sins, that it says in the Zohar that there is no tshuva for it. So if Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is trying to deter me from sinning, okay, he's now deterred me from now on, but what about what I already did? This is where Rav Kook in Source 7 and Rav Tzadok in Source 8 says, Yesh memshala lebal tshuva livatel zotu letaken. A bal tshuva has the power to push the erase button and to fix anything. Even if you killed a person and the person is dead and you cannot bring him back to life, God will take care of him and God will take care of me. There is a way to erase even the worst deeds. The Gemara in Masechet Chagiga Daf Ted Vav says that, you remember the story of Elisha ben Avuya Acher, who had his doubts. He learned Greek philosophy, long story, a famous classic book by a conservative rabbi, Milton Steinberg, As a Driven Leaf. It's a historical fiction with a lot of fiction. Nevertheless, there are some interesting things there. And at one point, the Gemara Masechet Chagiga tells us that Rabbi Meir, famous Tana, tells his Rebbe, Elisha ben Avuya, why don't you do tshuva? And Elisha ben Avuya answers him, I heard them saying up in heaven on the pasuk, shuvu banim shovavim, all of the naughty children return. That God continued, a bat kol came out and says, everybody can do tshuva except Elisha ben Avuya. I can't do tshuva. It's too late. Af al pi chen, says Rav Tzadok and Rav Kook, haya b'yicholto l'taken al yedei tshuva. Even when God tells you you cannot do tshuva, that's just part of the test. You can always do tshuva. Mipnei shechein ratzon Hashem yitbarach, ukamo shekadvu bashla in the Sefer Shnei Luchot Habrit, the Kabbalistic Sefer, b'Sefer Reshit Chochma, she'al ze ramzu, the famous Gemara Masechet Pesachim, daf pei vav, amud bet. Now, okay, it's interesting. There are so many different explanations to the following line in the Gemara, because it's sort of a weird Gemara. Many of you probably have heard it. What does the Gemara say? Kol mashi yomar lecha ba'al habayit asei. Chutz mi, say. Whatever a host asks you to do, you should do. Except for leave. What does that mean? That if a host asks me to leave, I shouldn't leave? Right? It's weird. Not only that. Everyone explains that if a host asks you to leave the zimun, you leave the zimun. The host asks you to make kiddush, you make kiddush. Those ask you to say a Dvar Torah, those tells you, whatever he asks you, can you go help in the kitchen? Whatever the Hosea asks you to do, you're supposed to listen. Except for leave. When the Hosea says leave, don't listen to him. These Hasidic authors explain, what does that mean? Who is the Bala Bayit? Who is the host of the world? We know throughout rabbinic literature, it's talking about God. And when God tells you, leave, don't listen to him. Don't leave. When God tells us, you're going to hell. You cannot do tshuva. These are 24 people or 5 people or another 5. These are people who cannot do tshuva. And the Zohar tells us that for these and these acts, there's no such thing as tshuva. don't listen to the Balabait. Don't listen to God. That is just part of the challenge, part of the test. That when I don't listen to God and I don't listen to the rabbis, and nevertheless, despite what they say, leave. You're left out of the world to come. Despite what they say, I am adamant to improve, not to go to heaven. I am adamant to improve because I want to improve. I want to be godly. I want to be good. Like we said last time, that is my higher desire. And if so, we have a beautiful, beautiful idea of what Rav Kook is saying here in Orot HaTshuva in source 7 or in source 8. And getting back to source number 1, what is Rav Kook saying? Everyone and anyone can do tshuva, and it's important to know that. You could take it to the bank. And even when the Chazal tells you can't do tshuva, you can do tshuva. Everyone. And for everything, you can improve. Continues Rav Kook in source number 1. All right. All this is on the first sentence of that without the peace of mind and without the security that we can change anything, as we saw in the Rambam in source 2, if we didn't have that possibility to improve, we would go crazy. We would commit suicide. We would just go deeper and deeper and worse and worse. Second line of source 1. Hachush ha-musari toveya mi-adam et ha-tzedek ve-atov. God created us with a conscience. We all have a natural desire, a higher desire, to do justice, to be good. Et ha-shlemut, we want to be perfect. Right? Everybody has a conscience. It's interesting. I think it was Nietzsche who said that the Jews, no, Pascal, he said that the Jews are the conscience of mankind. It was Nietzsche who said that the Jews invented the conscience. What does that mean, invented the conscience? Well, Judaism and afterwards Christianity and really modern man believes that we have a conscience and that it's true. All right, what's the question? According to Darwin's theory of evolution, survival of the fittest, how did the Jews survive? It's a good question, right? The Christians say, well, we are chosen to be damned, to be the witness people, to show the world what happens to somebody who doesn't accept Jesus. That's why the Jews, even though we're no longer the chosen people, according to them, we have to be eternal. We have a different understanding why we are eternal, because God promised us, and that is the destiny. That's why we were created. Nietzsche has a different answer. How did the Jews survive, even though we are not the most beautiful and we're not the smartest? How is it that the Jew outlasts everyone? Explains Nietzsche, because the Jew is the trickiest. And we conned the world into believing in morality. So that whenever the bullies come to eradicate everyone they can eradicate, and the stronger bully and the new superpower gets rid of the weaker bully. Again, that's part of the evolution of the world. But when they come to the Jewish people, says Nietzsche, the Jew turns to them and says, what? You don't have a heart. You don't have a conscience. And that is how the Jews survived. And the truth is, we are very proud that we brought the conscience to mankind. We don't believe that it's artificial. And as a matter of fact, it's known that not a few of the Nazis, those monsters, not a few of them were vegetarians. Because even those monsters have some kind of conscience, that at least they're moral on the animals. And this is what we saw last week, is the Ratzon Ha'elyon. We all want to be good. Third line of source number 1. Sorry, I should close the share screen. Third line of source number 1. So we all want to be perfect. We all want to be number 1. Vashleimut ha-musarit kama rechoka me'adam lagshima b'fo'al. On the other hand, it's so difficult to be perfect. We cannot be perfect. We always fall. And again, even if the general line of life and nature is on the rise, my friend Rabbi Yehuda Mirsky, Rabbi Dr. Yehuda Mirsky, called his book, called his doctorate about Rav Kook, Everything is Rising, right? The whole world is rising. Nevertheless, we're never going to get there because we cannot be perfect. And we're always having ups and downs on the way. Again, on the one hand, we, our higher desire, Rav Kook says, wants to be justice and moral and altruistic and volunteer and learn and pray. On the other hand, we inevitably fall. Again, the pasuk, Ein Adam Ba'aretz Asher Ya'aseh Tov V'lo Yechta. There is nobody who doesn't fall, nobody who doesn't make a mistake. So what are we supposed to do? Ve'ech yishav el mashe nenu b'yicholto klal. How can a person yearn or even try to get to something that is impossible? Because there always is going to be a higher level and a higher level. Lizot hatshuva hi tivit la'adam. Here Rav Kook is making a beautiful play on words for those who know a little Hebrew. Tshuva also means the answer to the question, and it also means to return, to improve, as we're saying, to return to God, to return to my godly self. So what is Rav Kook saying? It's a double meaning. He says that if we have a problem, that we have a conscience, and we always want to be good, and we want to improve, and it's so natural to improve, on the other hand, so often we fall. That is the answer. The teshuva is the answer. That teshuvah, returning to God, improvement, it has to be natural. The answer is natural. Improvement is natural. It's built in. Vehi mashlimato, and this is what gets us to improve. Im adam alul tamid lemichshol liyot pogem betzedek v'musar. Again, we're always making mistakes. Ein ze pogem et shleimuto. That does not harm our perfection. Listen to this. Rav Kook is saying we can be perfect. Me'achar she'ikar yesod ha'shleimut shelo hi ha'ariga ve'achefetz ha'kavua el ha'shleimut. Right, what is the definition of perfection? The most perfect man can be is the strive for perfection. Yes, there is an open arrow at the top, and next year there are more things that I can accept upon myself in Rosh Hashanah, and the next year more, and I can continue improving. So that doesn't mean I'm not perfect, because Rav Kook is telling us the definition of the most perfect man can be, we can't be God. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Kabbalah, only reached the 49th of the 50 levels. But you know what? Even if you reach the 50th level, there's always going to be a 51st. V'achefetz hazeh yesod ha'tshuva. This desire to always want to improve, and that is the definition of perfection. This really does bring us perfection, because we can always improve. There's a famous book by Rav Eliyahu Dessler called Mikhtav Me'Eliyahu. And in English, it's translated Strive for Truth. And the idea is exactly what Rav Kook is saying here. If as of this minute, just this minute, I want to improve, I regret the mistakes that I made, I am perfect. And if chas v'shalom, theoretically, a person at that point would die, he died as a perfect person. Because the arrow, it says beautifully in the Zohar on the word Elohim. What is Elohim? Elohim is comprised of two words, me and Eleh. Me is a question. Who? Who is God? Ele Elokecha Yisrael. Ele is something that you can point out. Oh, this is something of God that I could understand. When a person improves, he's becoming more godly. He has tuned in to a certain character trait of God. But for every Ele, there is a new me. There's a new question. Okay, but I still don't understand God. And then I break my head and I learn and I ask. And then I get to a higher level. Ele. Oh, this is God. This is godliness. But for every Eleh, there is another me. There is another question. Because God is perfect. And again, the most perfect man can be is to strive for perfection. As the famous story of Rav Zusha. Rav Zusha turns to God and he says, God, I know that I can't be Moshe Rabbeinu. You know that I can't be Moshe Rabbeinu. But what I'm scared is that God is going to ask me, Zusha, why were you not Zusha? And that's exactly what we learned last week. Develop your potential. Do the mitzvot. Get that self-discipline to rise, to let myself rise to a higher, to the highest level. What is the highest level? The open arrow. Because there's always room to improve even more. This is a beautiful, beautiful concept. I think it's the Navi Hosea. It says, Ve'erastich li le'olam. We say this under the chuppah. Literally, it means I will betroth you. When a man engages a woman, you are now engaged to me forever. And the pasuk says, God turns to his beloved, the people of Israel, and says, you are betrothed to me forever. And the obvious question is, why erusin and why not nisuin? Why do we not consume the marriage? Why doesn't God say, you are my wife? Not you are just my betrothed. And the answer is exactly what we're saying. Because what is the beauty of the period of engagement? I work with collegiates and yeshiva and midrasha students, 18, 19, 20-year-olds. And when they get engaged to be married, you find the right guy, you find the right girl, there's that very special period of time where you're in love with each other, but you can't consummate the marriage. You want to hug her, but you can't. And that is our relationship with God, because we can never reach perfection. We want to hug God, but we can't. We want to be like God, but there is always going to be a higher level. We want to understand God. Me, Ele. That's all of what life is about. So what is Ve'erastich li le'olam? By the way, that's the idea why we say it under the chuppah. Halavai, that we should remain lovers like we love each other during our period of engagement, before we're married. Because that is just love which gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. But you cannot consummate the marriage. And that is the Rebbe Meir, Masechet Nidah. That's how he explains the laws of Nidah, that there's a time of separation between man and wife every month. And the idea is, during that time, to let that love, that tension that you can't consummate, just let it rebuild and build and build and build again. With God, we can never consummate. And that is the idea of Tzama Lecha Nafshi. David HaMelech, I am thirsty for you. I'm thirsty. And you know what? Even if I could drink God all day, I'm still going to be thirsty, because there's a famous song in Hebrew. Lo lahagia rak lishof. You never get there. But to want to get there, that is the challenge of life. The strive for perfection is perfection. I remember there were two times in my life that I really, unfortunately, had even fleeting thoughts of suicide. And it was weird, because each of them came right after I had a certain achievement and something that I was working for. I was on shlichut for Bnei Akiva for 2 years, and things were going very, 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 very well. And at the end of the 2 years, I was at a Camp Moshavah in Indian Orchard, and the summer was just unbelievably successful. And on the final night, it was so successful, I just felt a certain emptiness. And I just started crying. And afterwards, that happened to me another time in life. Again, Baruch Hashem, God helped me succeed a very important goal that I worked on for a long time. And when I got to that goal, I felt a feeling of emptiness. So what now? And that is why the word in Hebrew, safek and sipuk, is really from the same root. Because when a person is in doubt, he has where to go, he has a goal, he has a safek, But what happens when he gets to the Sipuk to satisfy his goal? What then? And what Chazal Judaism is telling us here is that is the constant climbing, that for every goal that you achieve, you got to find a new goal. And you achieve that, get a new goal. And all of life is this improving, improving. It's like the famous Nikudata Bechira of Rav Dessler we mentioned before. If anybody has a set of Mikhtav Me'Eliyahu, there are two classic articles which every Jew has, every person should read. And again, it's an English Strive for Truth. One is called Netina, giving, altruism. And the other is called what we're talking about, Nikudata Bechira. What is free will? Rav Dessler explains, again, just like Rav Kook, that all of life is different levels of climbing, of improvement. Now, everybody starts at a different point. Say a person is born into a mafia family, and everybody around him is a killer. For him, his free will is not, am I going to talk Lashon Hara or not? Am I going to drive on Shabbat or not? But he is going to be held responsible that he has free will to either be a murderer like everyone else in his family or to choose not to. Somebody else who's born in a normal family, he passed that test before he was born. He's on a higher level. And he has to choose between observing Shabbat or not observing Shabbat. And somebody who's born into a Sabbath observing family, his point of free will, where he is held accountable, where he is struggling, is, am I going to gossip or not? Am I going to talk Lashon Hara or not? Each and every one of us, throughout life, we are meant to climb, and every day we have a new point of free will. And again, that's exactly what we are talking about. Rav Kook continues. We're running out of time. Let us see source number four. You know what? Maybe I'll talk a drop about Rosh Hashanah because we just have a couple minutes left. In source nine, we'll just do this orally. The Navi Chezkel in Perek Lamed Gimel tells us what is the job of a scout. The job of a scout is that he's on Shmirah to look and see if any enemy is coming. And if he sees somebody coming, his job is to blow the shofar. What is the shofar? As we approach Rosh Hashanah, anybody who doesn't understand this never understood Rosh Hashanah. Because the shofar is the olden day siren. It's a warning siren. An air raid siren. And there are two ways of blowing the shofar. One is a tkiah and one is a truah. We all know that a tkia is a straight note. And the trua is from the word ra'ua. It's up and down. It's shaky. Tkia is from the word takua. It is stationary. Now, internationally, when you hear an air ride siren going up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down, that's a sign to ask yourself, where am I and where should I be? I got to get moving. Either run to the bomb shelter or run to the sealed room or run to get my gas mask or if I'm in the Israeli army, run to my Yechidat Miluim, to my army unit. But that is what Rosh Hashanah is about. That's why it's called Yom Teruah. That it's an emergency siren. Get moving. Where are you and where should you be? That's why, by the way, alarm clocks, if anybody remembers the old alarm clocks, it was monotone and it would wake you up, but then you'd fall asleep. The modern alarm clocks, they play a tune or they go up and down. And that's why ambulances have a siren that goes up and down. What is the symbolism of the tkiah? It's the opposite of the truah. The tkiah is after you've gone to the bomb shelter. How do you know when you're allowed to leave? So the international sign is all clear. They blow a tkiah. And the sirens in the times of Yechezkel, it was a shofar. And we all know that before and after every truah, there is a tkia. What is the idea? In Sefer Bamidbar, in source number 10, Bamidbar Perikyud, we're told that there is a code. When do you blow a tkia? And when do you blow a truah? So in Sefer Bamidbar, again, source number 10, it tells us, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Limor, Ben Adam, Aselecha Shtei Chatzotzot Kesef, make two horns out of silver. Vayulecha Lemikra Yeda Ulumasat Machanot. There are two jobs in the desert of the horns. One was to gather everyone together, and the other is to get moving. And the Torah goes on to tell us what's the difference if you blow one horn, one tkia, or many horns blowing a tkia. That's the difference between get ready to move and get moving. Or when we're in the land of Israel and you hear the air raid siren, the truah, the idea is go out to war. Life has ups and downs. It's dangerous. On the other hand, when do we blow a tkia in the Bamidbar? What is the code that has to be cracked? The Torah continues and tells us that when we want to get together, when we want to gather everyone, we blow a tkia, not a truah. Why? Because there's safety in numbers. There's a security when in unity, when everyone is together, whether it be in Beit Knesset, in the shul, or whether it be going out against to fight our enemies. But the chidush of Rosh Hashanah is that before and after every truah is a tkia. And that's what Rav Kook is saying. Tshuva gives us security. Just like God is our father and our king, Avinu and Malkenu. The Avinu part is the tkia. The Malkenu, the king part, he's also our judge. That is the truah in the middle. But don't worry, even at the end of Judgment Day, he's still our father. That is the concept in Source 11. The pasuk that we say before blowing the shofar. Allah Elohim betruah, Adonai bekol shofar. Elohim, we know, means judges. That's what's called midat hadin, God as the judge. That is called the truah. On the other hand, Hashem, that is midat harachamim, God is our loving father. The merciful aspect of God, bekol shofar, that is a regular kol shofar tkiyah. In other words, Rosh Hashanah is exactly what we learned today in Orot HaTshuva. Before and after, the main point is security. Don't lose hope, because God still will always forgive us. Like we said, even when he says he's not going to forgive us, that's just part of the test. And we'll finish off with source number 19. Reb Simcha Bunim of Shischa says beautifully, Ikar ha'ashma shel Adam, the main blame, the main fault of man, einam etzem ha'chata'im, as we've been learning tonight, sins, or more accurately, mistakes. By the way, the word chet is not a sin, it's a mistake, right? When your commander in the army says, hichteta et ha'matara, you missed the target. Or the sportscaster says, that Omri Kaspi kofetz, jumps, shoots, machti. He hasn't sinned. He has missed. And that's a mistake. When we don't do a mitzvah, it's a mistake. So Rav Simcha Bunim of Shishcha says, it doesn't bother him that we make mistakes. He was the one who created us that way. So what's the problem? Are we held accountable for? Hashma gdola shel Adam, hishu yachol bechol rega lasot teshuva ve'ino oseh. Man is held accountable not for sinning, because everyone sins, but he's held accountable for not doing teshuva. Because yeah, everyone sins, but God gave us a very easy solution. Just right now. Yeah, I want to improve. I regret doing A, B, and C, and D, and I am perfect, because that's as perfect as man can be. or in the words of the Nike commercials, just do it. Be free to be yourself, to be your godly self. Again, tshuvat, return to our real selves, our godly selves, and don't give up hope. Yeah, life is free will, and there are a lot of challenges and a lot of ups and downs, but that's exactly the challenge. Tkiyah, remember that there is a God and there is hope, and that our nature is good and it's natural to improve. In the middle is a trua, a challenge, the up and down, but in the end is another tkiyah. Allah Elokim b'trua, Hashem b'kol shofar. He is also our Father and also our King, something very important to remember as we approach Rosh Hashanah. There we have the chats.
Take a look in the chats if you'd like.
Yeah, here are greetings. The kippah that I can wear jogging. Oh, I'll tell you what my son does. I have a son who's in the army now. He's a commander. And what they do is, first of all, there's a new Velcro kippah that sticks to your hair even when you're running. Also, some people use, there's a lot of very strong tapes today. It could be scotch tape or masking tape. And you just put it on your kippah. That's good for running as well.
Naftali Bennett uses that, I think. That's what they say. There was a whole article in the paper. How does he keep his keep on his head?
He doesn't have a bobby pin. I guess that's how he does it.
He doesn't have enough hair for a bobby pin.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Well, he's meeting with Biden probably as we speak, but okay, that's not for now.
Okay, Europe was the most civilized and brought us the Nazis, correct? Who says people are getting better? The same foibles for thousands of years. Slavery is still here. We spoke about that last time, that thank God, most of the world does not have slavery. Most of the world knows that racism is wrong, right? Greetings. A man I knew, Bill Paley, said he was a Jew and had on the CBS in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, Father Coughlin, who is the leading Nazi in America, the German-American Bund. As I get called to the Torah, Avram David ben Yitzchak Cohen, Avram Allen David Danilo Fine. I didn't understand that one. Yeah, we know that some people are good and some people choose to be bad. Okay, regarding your YouTube on outdated mitzvot. I have a YouTube on outdated mitzvot. Okay, that's not really connected, but I'll get back to that later. There is no straight line in creation, revelation, and in redemption, correct? And that is how Rav Kook explains the Zionist movement. That, yeah, there are a lot of ups and downs. There's the first aliyah, the second aliyah, and downs, and third aliyah, and wars, et cetera, et cetera. That's life, exactly. There are the sources. Technology and science constantly changes. However, human nature does not change. Humans will always sin, exactly. Fortunately, we can exercise and learn self-restraint, control, focus, and discipline. It is evolution of self, hopefulness without optimism. Rav Kook is also hopeful and also optimistic because, as Chazal tell us in the Talmud, even 1 second before you die, you have hirhurei tshuva, you think, yeah, I want to improve, yes, I regret this or that and the other thing, then you are perfect. And that's how Judaism looks at it. And it's a very positive, optimistic way of looking at it. By the way, in general, anybody who's monotheistic, who believes that there is a perfect God who created a world, inevitably has to be optimistic. And that's why monotheistic religions believe in improvement. And Rav Kook actually writes that the world inevitably is going to do tshuva, not just because we believe in Mashiach, but because we see the world is constantly improving and we believe. Smaller screen than I wish. Slower typing than I wish.
Also, you can skip that comment. It's okay. That's just okay.
Okay. I'm not sure I accept or believe Rabbi Kook's assumptions. Either what he prescribes working for such things as soul improving, separate during lifetime from body. Related, are we being utilitarian? Do this, it works. But if after a reasonable effort it does not work, maybe time to try another, say. No, Rav Kook says that goodness is godliness. And that is our potential. And if it doesn't work the first time, it'll work the second time. And if it doesn't work the second time, it'll work the third time. And even a stupid person, somewhere along the line, will learn from his mistakes. And again, it could be even a second before you die. Problem is, you never know when you're going to die. And also, there are a lot of problems with taking that approach. Because I'll say that whoever says, yeah, the day will come and I'll do tshuva, lo maspikim biyado laso tshuva. Right? There are a lot of, we all know that life is complex. And the way we plan things very often does not work out. So that's why we should take advantage of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and really everything, every day in life. Tikkun midot is key. Kohelet tells us that at the end of the day, fear of God and following his mitzvot is our individual and collective responsibility. The danger of modern notions of progress is loss of the free will and chirut embedded in creation. Teshuvah is personal improvement, not social progress. I don't understand what is exactly meant by social progress. Can somebody explain that to me? My English is 40 years out of practice.
Social progress, it just means, like you were saying, we're against racism, you know, the social agenda, LGBT rights, things that I assume, you know, all the things that can make up our social interactions with people, their assumption is we are progressing there.
So,
in other words, or that's the question, how tshuva relates. It's, you know, it's not.
So the person asking says tshuva is personal improvement, not social progress. Rav Kook says that the micro and the macro are all following the same laws, just as the physical and the metaphysical follow the same laws. You have to remember, it's the same God, the same creator. And social progress, the idea of democracy, the idea of equality, this is mankind's form of tshuva. But it is true, you have to remember, we as individuals, we can do tshuva like that within 1 second. Mankind and social progress takes hundreds of years. It took thousands of years before man matured out of slavery and out of still, little by little, improving out of racism and chauvinism and imperialism, etc. But again, today in Orot HaTshuva, we are dealing with myself. I want to improve. And because mankind, social progress can work like this. My improvement can go like this, much faster. But that depends on me. That's the strength of free will. Our rabbis teach us, "Ein davar homed b'fnei ratzon." Nothing can get in the way of man's will, because our will is God's will. He willed to give us will. Okay. Greetings. I do not excel at typing, but I do not intend to shout while communicating on the computer.
No, you can skip that one too. It's okay. Also, it's just about the caps writing. Go back to 134 on iPad. I'm troubled by this line. It is a contradiction. Say, Rav Kook says it is a test. Why not formulate things up front as clearly as possible for as many as possible to understand?
Or which line is that?
I'm not sure. You have to identify.
I think maybe that person was talking about the Rambam. Or maybe how Rav Kook is explaining the Rambam, where the Rambam says on the one hand, everyone can do tshuva. On the other hand, he says, but there are some people that can't do tshuva. And Rav Kook is saying that is part of the test. Can somebody try and formulate that better than I did? I'm sure somebody.
That's fine. And that actually ties into the next question, you know, Paro, Amalek, Haman, Hitler, Yimach Shemam. That hardens their heart. I think it's too big a topic to get into now about the relationship between God hardening the heart and tshuva, except to say that's correct. Sometimes God doesn't allow people to do tshuva, especially leaders and etc. Okay.
And also the Rambam is talking about the Jewish people, and that also might be different. In addition, by the way, Rav Kook also talks about how leaders have more limited free will. It's actually a pasuk, Lev Melachim Besarim Biyad Hashem. that the kings and the ministers, sometimes God just wants to pull the strings, and obviously they're not held responsible for what they're not held responsible. But like Rabbi Kelman said, that's a big topic in and to itself. We should not confuse teshuvah and forgiveness with the absence of punishment. Correct? Yeah, sometimes there is punishment. But in general, as soon as, by the way, there's also a difference between punishment in this world, punishment in the world to come. But, and also there's certain things that we need punishment. The Rav Kook writes that punishment by God is educational, is an educational punishment. It's not just, you know, stand in the corner or, you know, go to hell. But it is to educate us. For example, one of the greatest sins in the Torah was when the people of Israel, the Chet HaMeraglim, the sin of the spies, they didn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. And their punishment was that they did not go to Eretz Yisrael. It's a natural outcome, and that future generations are meant to learn from that. The same thing like, you know, when we were kids and we were in a bad mood and we just said, no, 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 the terrible twos. And my father would answer us in Yiddish, you don't want, is nisht, so you won't get. In other words, there are natural, there are a lot of types of punishments. That's a big topic in unto itself. But in general, in the real world, the world to come, the spiritual world, every mistake is forgiven. Don't listen to the host, right, is what Moshe practiced after the golden calf. The host told him, leave me alone and I will destroy them. And Moshe refused to leave him alone until he got a reprieve for the people. Yafet, very good. As again, Moshe is saying, God is saying, hold me back, hold me back. And Moshe understood that is a sign that he is meant to hold God back. And yafet, very nice. Erase Amalek, but do not forget. Right, not to forget the evil that they did. Right, there's a lot of lessons that we are meant to learn from what not to do. Also from our forefathers, by the way. Rav Hirsch writes in Sefer Bereishit that Sefer Bereishit is to teach us many things to do like our forefathers, but also certain things not to do what they did. Goodness must be taught through the mitzvot. Rav Kook assumes incorrectly, to my mind, that people want goodness rather than laziness, taking care of, and narcissism through power, control, and certainty. Rav Kook is not naive. Adarabah. The whole time, he and we in our classes have been relating to the things that are holding us back. That laziness, that narcissism, self-centeredness, ego, peer pressure, right? We've related to all of that. And what Rav Kook is telling us is, you know what? Just do it. You can overcome it. Free will. That is godly. That's a very male-centric view. What is a male-centric view? The previous, okay. A case of you, Joni Mitchell, a case of you. But women can wait. Most men cannot. Interesting. There's a lot. And Rav Kook also writes a lot about men and women. And in general, right, women can withstand pain statistically better than men can. And that's a good trait. On the other hand, it's also good to have people in the world who are pushing forward and don't want to wait. Both are good. That's why God created both. Thank you. Inspiring and comforting. Oh, thank you. Beautiful. Thank you. I guess this is towards the end. Thank you so much, Rav Ari, for this beautiful explanation of Rav Kook. My pleasure. Ruth Shane. Are you the mother? I have students named Shane.
Probably not.
Okay.
All right, Rabbi. Yeah, I think that's it with the comments. Okay. We'll see you next week, please, God. Okay. Same time, same channel. And then on Tzom Gedalia, we'll also have this. Lachdas will be on Tzom Gedalia. Well, it won't be Tzom Gedalia in Israel, but it will be here. Okay. And this evening, our Parsha Shiur 8:30, everybody's welcome and invited. Rabbi Sam Berkowitz giving the parshiyah tonight, 8:30 p.m. Tomorrow morning, Pirkei Avot. Sunday morning, as I mentioned a few times, Rabbi Lipek's class will be at 11, not at 11:15, because of the YC2 Yom Iyun, which is why Rabbi Nadi Helfgott will not be teaching this Sunday, we'll be teaching the following two Sundays. So anyway, we look forward to learning with you, and be well, invite a friend, and have a wonderful day. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Both too.
Go to everybody. Thank you.